Lauren, go ahead and put that scripture up, whatever I told you. Okay, go ahead and read it, Terry. Bethpage. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!" The entry of the city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. Okay. Here's the thing about it. When Jesus entered the city on the donkey, you know why he entered on the donkey? To show himself as a servant. Because in Jerusalem at that time was still under Roman rule. And whenever they were looking at him as the Messiah, they were expecting him to come in like any king, like King David. Whenever he won battles, he'd come into the city riding on the donkey. Looked like he'd just barely been broke, you know. It couldn't stand still. But Jesus come into the city riding on a donkey, a young donkey that had never been rode, to show himself as a servant. And what I want to talk about today is our redemption through Christ. It started out, Jesus come into this city showing himself as a servant. And you know that, and I'm going to jump around, but you know that whenever he come in the servant, think about how Jesus felt. Everybody was hollering, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And you know what? He knew that they didn't really know how he was entering that city. Whenever he entered in, you know why they were throwing their coats down and the palm branches down? Because they were honoring him so much that they didn't even want the donkey that he was riding to touch the dirt of the road. So Jesus did so much for us. And this week, at Palm Sunday and this week, throughout. But here's what I want us to understand. Jesus, everything Jesus did, he did as a man, as a human being. And this is where we have to realize this. Adam, he messed up and sinned in the garden. He was a man. And a lot of people think, well, if I was Jesus, I could do that because Jesus was God. But no, he came as a man. And this, remember, in Acts 10:38, it says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And that's how Jesus was able to go through everything he did, the way to the cross, because he was anointed to do it. And there's not one thing that the devil tempts us with that he didn't tempt Jesus with. Just think about this. The devil can't come up with any new temptations. You know, think about Jesus. You know, I just told you about him riding into the temple or into the city. But think about the rejection after he got into the city, you know, and then think about whenever he, that Last Supper, you know, whenever he went to Last Supper. And he said, you know, one of you is going to betray me. That was one of his closest followers. So he knew what rejection is. But here's what I want to know. Here's what I want you to think about. Think about the compassion that Jesus had whenever he knew what Judas was going to do. The compassion that he had for Judas. Because he knew, you know, it said, whenever Judas, the devil, come upon Judas, don't you know that that broke Jesus' heart? Because he desires that none should perish, but all should come to the kingdom of heaven. So, everything that we go through, rejection, depression, fear, and panic, Jesus has went through. And that's how we can't overcome it by ourselves. We overcome it because we're anointed, and we can overcome it through Him. How are we the righteousness of God? In Christ Jesus, okay? And here's another thing. Terry and I was talking about this. How many people, do you know how old Jesus was when he died? 33 years old. Do you know why he died at 33 years old? Jesus died at 33 years old because he was under the Abrahamic covenant. And he knew that God promised him 120 years. But he had to give that. He gave that 120 years up and allowed the devil to take his life at 33 years old so that we wouldn't have to die young. Jesus did that so we can have a long, satisfied life. Think about that. I mean, to everything that God did on the way to the cross, it was so well planned out. It was so well planned out that, I mean, you know, that God, he told Satan in the garden that the seed of woman was going to bruise the devil's head. He forewarned him. You know what I'm saying? And that's what God, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end at the beginning, from the beginning. For in ancient times that are not done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasures. God, what's God calling you? God calls us healed. He calls us healthy. And he calls us hope. Remember the prophecy that was given for the local church this year? Divine health, divine healing, divine prosperity, and divine recovery. That's how God wants to see ourselves. How do we see ourselves? You know, I get so aggravated at people asking, what's wrong? What's wrong? Because, and that's the devil trying to get me to thinking about myself, like Terry was saying. It's a lot easier to think about ourselves when people say, well, how you doing? Well, I had to finally start saying, I'm healed. You know, whenever people, I say, well, I just tell them something. But I've got to start seeing myself the way God sees me. We've got to see ourselves healed. We've got to see ourselves. It says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Do you know what the definition of oppression is? Do you know, devil? That's fine. I didn't know if it... Oppression is subject to harsh authorities. I don't know how to pronounce that word. And treatment. Burden by abuse of power. Anything. If you got anything, any ailment, is there any ailment that the devil's trying to put on you? He Is he trying to oppress you? I mean, there's not anybody in here that shouldn't be believing for something. But the devil is trying to oppress us. If he can hold us back from doing what God called us to do, he can keep the gospel from going out like it was intended to do. Right now, we need to, this week, we need to see ourselves as being worthy of Jesus riding into that city, of Jesus going to them, facing everything he faced. I mean, just think about this. In Genesis 1 or 22, you don't have to put this up there, Lord. Genesis 1 through 14 is whenever God told Abraham, said, take your son to a place that I will show you and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And it says that, you know, Abraham split the wood and they loaded it on the donkey. And he took two of his servants and they traveled 3 days. And on the third day, they seen where he's supposed to be. Did you know that whenever they unloaded the wood, I know you know this, Isaac said, Dad, we have the wood and we have the fire. But where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? God will provide. Now they walked up to that mountain, Mount Moriah, I think it was. They walked to the mountain and they built an altar. Abraham laid the wood on the altar. And then he bound Isaac. And he put him on the altar. And he raised his knife. He was getting ready to plunge it into Isaac. Because God said, if you take your son, your only son, the one that you and sacrifice him. And when he got ready to plunge the knife in, God sent an angel and said, no. You've proven yourself. And what happened? Looked around, and there was a ram hung in the brush. And God provided the lamb. Did you know the same place where God took Abraham to sacrifice Isaac is the same place that Jesus was crucified? That's how detailed God is. That ram that was caught in the brush, that represented Jesus. And then just think about whenever after they had went into the, Jesus had rode into the city and all the praise and the glory and stuff and he said, now let's go, it's getting ready to come to Passover. And whenever he said, go to town, you'll find a guy with a getting water and ask him where me and the master can have the Passover supper. And they went to the upper room. And you know, Jesus loved his disciples so much that he took a week to tell them how much he loved them, to tell them what was going to happen. But they really didn't understand it. But anyway, whenever Jesus said, there's one amongst us that's going to betray me. And they all started asking who, you know. And Jesus told them, the one that dips in with me, that will be him. And whenever, after Jesus told him, said, Judas, go do what you need to do. And then he was telling, you know, about Peter, about the Lord wants to sift, or the devil wants to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. That's the compassion that Jesus had for the whole human race. But anyway, and whenever they was talking about who was going to be the greatest, and what did Jesus do? He took off his robe and he started washing her feet. Jesus came as a servant. Everything he did was as a servant. But anyway, whenever they, after it was over, and they went to the garden to pray. You ever think it's funny how Judas knew exactly where Jesus was going to go? He knew that he had been to the garden. Why was that? Because that was a common place where Jesus went and prayed. And as whenever you get to thinking about when Jesus was in the garden, we know that he prayed, my God, if there's any way that this cup can come from me, you know, take it from me. But if not, not my will, but yours be done. I think about this. If Jesus was as a man, think about how much pressure was on him. I would say he was almost at the place of panic if he was at a man, as a man. You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, knowing what was ahead of him because he knew what he was called to do. But anyway, he took three of his disciples with him closer. He'd pray and he'd kneel down. And then he got up and he'd come. And he'd wake them up and say, can't you pray, you know, just for it? I know your spirit's weak, but your flesh is weak, something like that. And then he'd go back and pray again. And he was just so restless and so unpeaceful. And it says that there's so much pressure on him that the blood vessels in his face broke, you know, burst, and in his eyes, and it looked like he was sweating great drops of blood. Did you know that when he was in the garden praying, that he was there 3 hours? He was praying 3 hours. He was interceding for 3 hours. And then whenever Judas and all them came to arrest him, Judas, you know, said, I'll go up and kiss him. That's how you'll know who it is. Whenever they come, Jesus said, who are you looking for? And I said, Jesus. He said, I am he. And then they all fell back. The Spirit of the Lord just knocked them over. And I got to thinking about that. If Peter would have been thinking, of course, he probably thought like I did. He probably didn't realize what happened. And then, but he got his sword out, you know. But anyway, think about Jesus' compassion to all mankind. Whenever Peter got out, whenever Peter took his sword out and cut that servant's ear off, Jesus, the compassion that Jesus has for mankind, he picked it up and put it back on and healed that man completely. Now, anybody that tells you that you have to do everything just right to be healed is a liar. Because that man came to arrest Jesus. In the natural, he was an enemy to Jesus. But Jesus' compassion healed him. And just think, whenever the scribes and the Pharisees took him, you know, to the in front of Pilate, and you know, he went before two kings. But whenever they took him to be judged, just think about how much compassion he had to have for us, because he knew what he was going to face. He knew what was ahead of him. And as I was thinking about whenever he went to be judged, you know, everything that the scribes and the Pharisees were doing, they were telling lies to try to entrap him. They couldn't find no fault with him. They were telling lies. And as I was thinking about this, the devil, it's just like what's going on in America today. There's a Jezebel spirit. The devil's trying to destroy this nation. But also, there's a spirit of the Pharisees in this nation. It's trying to say, well, you didn't do this according to the way it should have been done. See what I'm saying? But anyway, when Jesus was there and he was being tried, and they were telling all sorts of lies and stuff, and they finally decided just to have him scourged, to be whipped. And whenever they took him to the whipping post, you know, they tied him to that post. And those Roman soldiers were so talented with those whips that they could whip you within an inch of your life and never kill you. And whenever he went to that whipping post, he did it for every person on the face of the earth. Now think about this. When he was there, what are you believing for? Because it says, by his stripes, ye were healed. Our healing's already been paid for. But think about this. When they were whipping him, and that metal or that glass or those rocks, bone would hook his flesh and it'd just rip it. He was beaten so badly that you couldn't even recognize him. They pulled his beard out and spit on him. And then they'd slap him and say, prophesy. Tell us who did that. But he kept his mouth shut. He didn't say a word because he had us in mind. He went through every bit of that for us. But whenever they got done whipping him, it's been said that it was so brutal and stuff that they could literally go over and pick up the flesh that was ripped off of his body. He did that for you and I. And then they took him back after he had been scourged. And I think it was Pilate said, look at this man. And this is what he's saying, really. Look at this man. Hasn't he went through enough? He's innocent. And Pilate knew that the reason they were wanting him crucified was because of their own envy. But they said, no, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, a murderer. But just think of the compassion that Jesus has for us. I mean, then whenever he, through his trial period, you know, he's just like the sheep going before Jesus was in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, they would have to examine the sheep for 3 days. Just like the Passover sheep, they couldn't have no blemish. Well, they couldn't find none with Jesus. But anyway, whenever they went to the cross, they took him to nail him to the cross. Let me back up. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Dutch Sheets said he believed that's where all of our sins started coming on to Jesus. Because in the garden, that's where Adam sinned. But anyway, whenever Jesus was nailed to the cross, he was nailed in 3 places. Do you know why those 3 places? At Passover, what did the Lord tell the children of Israel to do so the death angel would pass over? Anoint your doorpost, the sides, the top. So, 3 places. That's why Jesus was nailed in 3 places. But Jesus was also tied to the cross. The reason he is tied to the cross too is because whenever they dug the hole and they took him and they leaned the cross up and let it fall in that hole, it literally dislocated his shoulders. But there wasn't one of his bones broken. But just think about that. Everything that he did for us. Just think about, you know, how they were mocking him. And whenever they put him on the cross, that the crucifixion lasted 6 hours. But there was total darkness in that 6 hours. Think about that. What do you think those Roman soldiers thought whenever total darkness was over? And you know, whenever the thieves on the cross, he had one on each side, and one of them was mocking him, and they were all mocking him, and they had hit him with three, and they put that crown of thorns in on his head before they put him on the cross, and they took and they beat it in his head, so to the point that it scarred his skull. That represented the curse that you and I have been redeemed from. Galatians 3:13, I don't care what you're up against. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that the blessing of Abraham, because cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree. But anyway, the one robber was mocking him, and the other robber said, can't you see? We're up here because we deserve it, but he doesn't deserve it. He said, Jesus, would you remember me? And he said, this, from this day forth, you'll be with me in paradise. So that goes against the religious deal. Well, in order to go to heaven, you got to be baptized. Because I don't think they took the guy down off the cross and baptized him. What it is, it's a heart deal. And then, as all the weight of our sins was coming down upon him, you know, all throughout Jesus' life on this earth, we heard him talk about his Father, right? His Father. But when he was hanging on the cross, what did he say? My God. My God. Why have you forsaken me? That's whenever God had, he was no longer his Father, because he had taken all of our sins. You know what I'm saying? And God had to turn his back against him. And we know that whenever Jesus said, it is finished, we know that in the temple, that the veil ripped from top to bottom. Just like Jesus' body was ripped and tore apart. See, God's intentions all along was not to have a place where he was separated from mankind. But whenever Jesus became our sacrifice, and he was beaten and broken for us, and whenever he said, it is finished, and that veil ripped from top to bottom, that made you and I the Holy of Holies. See what I'm saying? I mean, that's Jesus. The Lord dwells inside of us. You know, God never intended for a priest to be able to tell us or have to stand for us. The reason God created man is to have an intimate relationship with him. God wants to have such an intimate relationship with every person on the face of the earth that there's no doubt in our mind that when we pray for healing, there's no doubt in our mind whatsoever that we're healed. So we've got to start seeing ourselves with as much value as God sees. Think of the value that God put on you. And you know, and I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else, because what God has got in store, the devil, he tries with all his power to keep it from coming to pass. But he cannot defeat God. He never has been able to defeat him, and he never will. And we know that you know, before Jesus died, you know, we told him that, we know that he told Peter, said, you'll deny me three times. That's why I said I'm jumping all over the place. But whenever Jesus prayed for him, he said, whenever you're converted, he said, strengthen my people. Just think. There was not any one of his disciples that were born again. That's how much value that he put on us. After Jesus died, then, they, you know, on the day of Pentecost, they got born again. But, I mean, just what God has in store for his children. is far greater than we even think in our natural mind. We can't, I don't know that we can even get our arms around it. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, Jesus died at 33 years old, so you and I can live 120 years. Jesus took every sickness and every disease on His body so that you and I could walk in divine health and divine healing. The Bible says that Jesus was rich, yet but for our sake He became poor, so that through His poverty we can be rich. Everything in the blessing of Abraham, Jesus made available to us by what He did. But we have to see ourselves as not second-rate kids, not as a red-headed stepchild or something like that. We have to see ourselves as joint heirs with Christ Jesus. But like Terry said about that lady who went to Andrew Womack's Bible College, she was a believer, but she supported things that was against God. But as she got to know in God's Word, and she got to love in God's Word, then that changed her mind. And the thing about this, there's not one person in here, if there's any symptom in your body that God doesn't desire that you're healed, because it's already been paid for. So here's what I'm saying. What do I have to do to get myself to the place where I walk in the fullness of what God has made available to me? Well, I just have to keep pressing forth. We just have to keep reading the Word. We have to keep, so, you know, Lord, what's Your will? Well, we know His will is health and healing. We know that His will for Bobby is new lungs. Now, here's the thing. People get to hearing us talking about having new lungs, Will getting his finger back, me being healed. They're going to think, them people up there in Faith Chapel's Fruit Loops. But you know what? If you can believe it, you can have it. That's why the devil comes against us so much. He comes to steal the Word. And the devil needs to know. This is what the Lord showed me this week. The devil needs to know that we have legal documentation that we are healed, we're to be prosperous, and we're to live a long life. And he has defeated a defeated foe. And you know, I don't care what symptom you're up against. I don't care how bad it looks. What the Bible says, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He had the chastisement of our peace upon Him. And by His stripes, we were healed. And we have to see ourselves as healed. So how are you seeing yourselves this week? That's what I want us to do this week. How do you see yourself? We know that today's Palm Sunday, and we know that next Sunday is going to be Resurrection Sunday. So this week, let's start focusing on how God sees us, and let's start seeing ourselves as God sees us. Because until we see ourselves the way God sees us, the devil can keep talking us out of the promises of God. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it may not seem like it's that important, but I mean, what's the devil do? He comes and plays with your mind. You know, like, got symptoms of, I don't know, just anything. Well, what makes you think God's going to heal you? If the devil can steal the Word of God, he can steal our health. But whenever we stand fast, and we have to overcome the enemy by what? The word of our testimony, and the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So Jesus kept His mouth shut and allowed the curse to come on it. So what's that tell us? We've got to speak God's word and command the blessing upon us. See, the devil doesn't want us to know exactly how much authority we have. Because if he can keep us to thinking, well, you know, what makes you think what makes you think you're good enough to be healed? Or what makes you think that God will heal you? Well, there's not one place in the Bible that anybody that came up to Jesus and said, if it be your will, Jesus said, I will. And we never see where Jesus prayed, Father, if it be your will, heal him. We know that God's will is healing. God's will is prosperity. God's will is long life. God was so emphatic on pushing, making us see that, that's why Jesus went to the cross. God was willing to sacrifice his son, his firstborn son, so that you and I could become sons. You know, if Jesus wouldn't have said, it is finished, he could have still been hanging up there on the cross because he had authority over death. But when Jesus went to the pits of hell and he defeated the devil openly and he came back victorious on the third day. When he came back victorious, he brought that victory to us. And that's how we need to see ourselves as victors, not victims. And you know, whenever, like Terry said, whenever we're going through something, somebody, you know, you get thinking, well, they just don't understand what I'm going through because, you know, it's real easy when you're going through something to think about yourself because that's what the devil tries to get you to do. Think about yourself. So, Terry, if you want to turn that off, I'm done. Jake, you can turn it off. Then what I want to do, I'm going to pray, and I want everybody here to get together. You don't have to bunch up together, but like Larry, you and Deb and Terry, Ashton, you and Will.